Hey there, it's your happy Asian woman host, Alice Chen. Do you know any teens who are feeling overwhelmed with the college admissions process? If so, send them my way. I run Bright Story Admission Consulting, a boutique company that focuses on college application essays. A little about me. I'm a Stanford grad, a professional journalist, and I also coach other essay coaches. I love teaching people how to write, and I'm so thrilled when my students get into schools that they love, like Stanford, MIT, and the UCs. Learn more about my company at brightstory.info. Welcome to Happy Asian Woman, a show to help Asian American women find more joy in love, work, and life. I'm your host, Alice Chen, a professional journalist and entrepreneur. I've also been married for almost 15 years, and I'm the mother of two young girls. If you want to build more community, come join our supportive Facebook group. The link's on my website, www.happyasianwoman.com. Thanks for joining us. If you missed the last episode, be sure to check it out. We talked about how each panelist got into the very high levels of their respective fields, how they addressed racism that they've experienced, and how to prevent anti-Asian violence. Let's listen in to part two. So Yang, what sort of advice do you have for parents with kids who want to be in non-traditional fields?
Writing is an essential skill for everyone, from school to job applications, to promotions or any job function and career advancement. It is also essential to interpersonal relationships. People who express themselves with authenticity tend to have better mental health, social support, and functional relationships. A lot of kids like to read and write, especially when they're young, but the majority of them will not grow up to become writers. Asian parents may worry that they want to become writers and try to prevent them from pursuing it. But I know many people with MFAs have stopped writing. Writing is too hard for so many reasons, not least of which is a lack of income. I think parents should encourage their children to study writing because it is an essential life skill. Most people will write until they find it not sustainable anymore, either creatively or economically. It's called fail fast. In this case, it's not even failing because they will put their writing skill to other good use. If your child determines to become a writer, parents should support them as long as you can. Encourage your child to read great books. Read widely, not just bestsellers, but also classics, diverse books, and world literature in translation. Mm-hmm. Reading is the most important step to become a writer or a good storyteller. The second suggestion I have is to teach kids time management. Some people envy me, say, oh, you have so much time to write. That's not true. I made time for writing. It was hard work, discipline, and sacrifice over the years. I taught my children writing by teaching them how to manage their time. Say, if the work is due on Friday, you must start to think about it on Monday. Complete a draft by Tuesday. Then you rest on Wednesday, then look at it again on Thursday. Revise, expand, and deepen it. Then you may hand in good work on Friday. You cannot rush creative work. You need to ruminate. Give yourself time, space, and freedom to play. Don't shortchange yourself.
Okay, thank you. And I just want to be mindful of time. We have about 20 minutes left. And so we can maybe try a little bit more brevity for these questions, but any advice for parents with kids who want to be in non-traditional fields? How about you, Mike?
I think you should encourage what your kids love. It's interesting. I have a high school senior who will be graduating, we hope, in a couple of weeks. He'll be graduating. But, a lot of his friends have, sort of defied what their parents' goals or wishes or visions were. There's a kid who is an athlete whose parents thought that he would be an artist. There is someone who's, you know, a musician who, you know, whose parents thought he'd be, you know, an economist or a politician. Kids find things that they love, and I think it's important to encourage them and support them along the way. As far as the tools to success, I would agree with everything Yang said, especially the reading and writing. I think reading is exceptionally important, and the wide variety of reading. I have a lot of catching up to do, even among classics and among current things. Her book is next on my list. I have a copy of it. But, and thank you for that, Yang. But you know, I think reading is important, time management is important, and really working on what you do. Even though journalism is more a sprint than a marathon, what I write, what appears in the newspaper, is not what I put on paper or into the computer the first time. Mm-hmm. I'll have written it sometimes 15, 20 times just to make it sound better, to make it, you know, best use of words in the space, to, you know, in journalism often, especially daily stories, the, you know, the lead, the entrance to the story, the first paragraph is the most important. And it is not unusual at all to rewrite that maybe 15 or 20 times.
Mm. Right. I'm not a parent, so I'll take all the advice from these two, but I'll just share from my perspective as a son, I guess. The best thing that my parents did for me when I wanted to switch career was they did exactly what they did when I was going into a more traditional career, which is check to make sure, are you sure you can do it? Did you have the proper training, education to do it? Because that's what they did in the beginning. Second, provide advice, resources. Oh, if that's what you're interested in, I think I actually have a colleague who used to be a coach. You want to talk to them. It's the same thing they did when I got into the financial industry. And boast to your friends about what your son does. That's what they did when I got my first job, and that's what they did when I switched careers. So that was the greatest gift they could have given me.
That's so great. Thank you. What do you think, if anything, do Asians need to improve on in the workplace? And I think we were at Mike.
I'd say self-promotion. and not just because of myself, but I know a number of other people who just are not several other Asians who are really just not that good at self-promotion. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I don't know whether it's a cultural thing or not, but, I think standing up for yourself, promoting the work that you do, I think is really key.
Mm-hmm. Great. And Doi, executive coach.
I'm going to build on what Mike said. In addition to self-promotion, find your support network. Mm. Find the people who will advocate for you, who will sponsor you, executives who will invite you in and give you opportunities, who will speak up for you when it's time for your promotion. Because that's the thing that I had to learn to do. I don't know, somehow along the way, I had gotten so humble that I don't even try to find people who promote for me. But when I look back and when I was younger, my dad was always good about like trying to connect me with people. Now I see what he was trying to do, which was trying to find people who would advocate for me. And so do that. And then once you've gotten to a point where you are successful, be an advocate for somebody else. Mm-hmm. Be an ally, be a sponsor for somebody, especially those who are underrepresented group in leadership position, Asian Americans, AAPI being one of those groups.
I love that. Thank you. Yang, did you want to take a stab at this one?
Could just agree with what Mike and Doi said. I think more and more Asians are taking on leadership roles. That's a wonderful trend. We should have more of that. But I give up leadership role for writing, so I don't have much to add in this department.
Well, you're a leader in the writing world. So all of you are in idea-driven fields, whether it's writing or leading a company. How do you get your ideas? Doi?
Conversations. I learn a lot through dialogue. And what it is for me is I draw a lot of inspiration from learning about how people arrive at their learning. There's something about the process of understanding how they came to know what they know today, how they arrived at the, not their wisdom. I'm less that sounds weird. I'm not less interested in that, but I'm more interested in how they arrived at that. Because then what I get from that process is now I'm thinking, do I do that? Does that resonate with me? And then like it's sparking all these kinds of ideas. And that second step, which is pausing to reflect, what resonates with me? What makes sense? What doesn't? And that was a step that I had to learn to do, because growing up, I think I was in a mode where I take what wise people tell me and just download as the thing to do. I didn't have that still processing. I was like, no, does this make sense to me or not? And that's where a lot of the ideas come to, when you pause and think, does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm. So interesting. How about you, Yang?
I get my ideas for my stories by focusing on the people who interest me. Mm-hmm. For example, my good son began with the image. A tailor spends his entire life making clothes for other people. One day he puts on a long form-fitting dress and walks in heels with some difficulty. I didn't know what he meant, but the strange image stayed with me. I asked myself, does he pretend to be a woman, or is he driven by something else? Mm. I am fascinated by how people work in the real world. A tailor reconciles his aspiration and artistic vision with the need to make a living. So I began to write a novel about a tailor and research textiles and tailoring craft. I visit my parents and they introduced me to a tailor in Shanghai. This tailor had a son with a health problem. He told me that his petite wife had to carry the boy up 5 flights of stairs on her back after his treatment. Watching them made his heart burst with love, pain, and sorrow. I was deeply moved and decided to make my protagonist a father struggling to raise his son up in this world. At the time, my husband didn't eat meat. Everywhere we went, people asked him if he did it for religious or health reason. He said neither, he just didn't like the taste. But no one believed him. They still pressed him to eat meat. It didn't take much to make a person conspicuous in the circle of family and friends. So I give this character trait to Fan. Through my research and writing, I pieced together different elements and fiction began to be born. Why is a tailor wearing a woman's dress? I found a plot about a gay man coming out to his father. My genuine respect and sympathy for people I knew in real life drove me to discover a story that eventually became my good son.
Powerful, thank you. How about you, Mike? Tips on creativity.
There are so many ways in journalism to come up with stories. And you know, a lot of times it's because your editor tells you write this story. But a lot of times you need to come up with things on your own. And what I often find is that it'll go in cycles. I'll be so busy that I have no time to really think about what I'm doing. I'm just doing it and processing it and trying to write good stories. And all of a sudden the well will be dry. And whenever that happens, I go out and I start talking to people. You know, again, it's people. In particular, I look for quirky people, quirky things, you know, oddball places, you know, anything that's kind of out of the ordinary. A lot of journalists look for conflict, and conflict is good, but you know, a lot of times it's just, you know, it's colorful, quirky people and places, events that really make the better stories.
Great. Well, we have about 10 minutes left. I think I'm going to just glance through and see if there are any questions in the chat. I don't think anything really came up. So one quick one, any sources for bystander training? Maybe we'll send it in the chat box, maybe Yang.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a time when you've had to speak out about an issue or injustice? How did you do it, and what came about when you took the risk?
Oh, you're asking me?
I think we're at Yang.
Oh, yeah. I've spoken out about social injustice, privilege, mostly in my novels, especially Living Treasures. So you just have to read them. And how's my journey?
Okay, great. Thank you. How about you, Mike?
Well, I've spoken mostly about my career as a journalist, and you know, sort of the offshoot of that is my role as a vice president in the union. And you know, I'm also a shop steward at work, which is a person who sort of helps represent the workers. And on any number of occasions, I've had to go to bat for people. Sometimes it's because they're Asian. Sometimes it's been other things. But you know, it's not something I was comfortable mm-hmm. at first, but the idea that it's a role you play and a responsibility you have helps you to step forward. I mean, I grew up as kind of a shy kid, but the mm-hmm. fact that I became a journalist, you know, it's like an excuse to be nosy and to talk to people. You know, even sometimes, you know, I'll think, oh, geez, I don't really want to talk to them, but it's my job. Or, you know, I'll see someone who looks interesting and I'll sort of walk by and then I'll go back and I'll say, so why are you doing that? I'm a reporter. What are you doing? You know, being a journalist is like a great excuse to be nosy.
Mm-hmm. Great. Boy.
I'll give a different example. When as an actor, there was a situation when we were doing a show that was written in the 50s, and there were some, let's say, standards from the 50s between like the way a man acts to a woman that is not really correct these days. And so we were doing the scene and you know, we were getting direction that I was like, oh, that does not feel right at all. I was the male character and I was like, I don't feel right doing this to her. So then like during the break, I checked in with my scene partner, the actress. And I was like, can I check? How do you feel about this? And she like reluctantly, she's like, it's okay. And then like she eventually said that, yeah, it feels kind of weird. Then you're like chasing me around the room and like saying all these things. So I was like, you know, I'll talk to the director. And she's like, really? It's like, yeah. It doesn't feel right, right? So then like we had a conversation with them and explained what was going on. But at that time, I had to be ready for the fact that if he'd said, no, we're going to do it that way, I was ready to say, I'm not comfortable doing it. Mm. But that's a choice I had to make and be willing to do it. Because at the end of the day, I'm not prepared to be on stage doing this, having people I love and care about come to see it and be like, dude, you were a jerk. And not because the character calls for it, but because these were standards written from like 60, 70 years ago.
Wow.
But the director was very open to it. We ended up co-creating the scene, what it could look like if we were to adjust it. I was really proud to work in the end. And it made my relationship with my co-actor that much stronger. And we had so much trust in the whole process, which is so much better. So speak up for what's right. Check with the people who are going to be affected, also see how they feel. Like that's always something that, you know, you can be proud of no matter what. Do the right thing.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I see we have some questions from the audience. I think Tanzo was the first one. Do you want to unmute yourself real quick, Tanzo?
Yeah. When did you get so interested in this? Like ever since you were a young child, or ever since you went to college, or like when?
You mean like in what we do right now?
Yeah, like when did you start getting so interested about like speaking up?
Oh, speaking up.
I was 23. I was working a full-time job for 2 years. I got a little bored and it wasn't spiritually fulfilling for immigrants. I thought I didn't come all the way just to do this job. And there must be a deeper purpose to my journey. So I went back to school when I was 23.
Wow, awesome. Great question. How about the rest of you?
I think I was probably around the same age, maybe a couple of years older, around 25, and was in one of my first jobs. And it just became evident that they were taking advantage of us. You know, they weren't paying us overtime. They were scheduling us for time that we where we were supposed to be off. They were just, you know, sort of taking advantage of the fact that we all love journalism and were willing to do anything to be in journalism. And we got together as a group, and turned out I was sort of reluctantly chosen as their leader. And we went and spoke to the publisher of the newspaper, who at first was not happy to see us there, and certainly didn't like the fact that we were essentially making demands, but you know, agreed that they would correct things, and you know, and they did. But you know, that ability to, it's great that you, when you win something, and we won there, but it's also a real relief to be able to speak out. You know, everything that you're holding in and you're grumbling about it, you know, in the cafeteria or at the water cooler, you know, to be able to actually say it to somebody, and you know, whether they listen or not is, you know, it's important, you know, and at some point you're just, you're just moved to do that. And you know, I've continued to run into events where that's important.
Thank you. How about you, Doy?
I think it took me a while to finally like feel bold enough to speak up and do something, because for a while I was an immigrant in this country. I was not a citizen. So anything psychologically, I felt that if I raised too much issue, and then, you know, if I go protest, God forbid I get arrested, that's going to go against me. And when I apply for citizenship, they might use that against me. All that kind of psychological thing that's going on internally. So when you don't feel safe, you are less likely to speak up. But I started to notice a significant shift once I became a citizen. And I was like, all right, now I'm going to speak out. And like, it just like started pouring out, which was recently, but just within the past 4 or 5 years. So not that long ago, to your question. But I realized more and more that when you're in a position where you are not, you don't have fear or safety, then it's more imperative that you do speak up. Because there are people who would be afraid to say something for multiple reasons, because I was there myself.
That's so powerful. Thank you. And I see we have another question from Ethan.
Thank you.
So I'm going into sixth grade. What can I do to make my voice heard?
Whoever wants to jump
in. Classroom or at home or in your community?
Classroom.
Is there a particular class you have in mind, or all? No. Okay.
Yeah, all.
I would say just try it. And this is what I wish I had learned earlier. I was waiting for permission to do something before I do it, versus now as an adult and looking back, I realized that do it, and then if it's not right, somebody will let you know. So I would have tried speaking up more before if I had known that, rather than waiting for permission to speak up. So it's just shifting mindset. And at the same time, you know your teachers. You know the environment, the class that they're creating. So choose the ones who you feel then will be open to that first, and just try one, see how it feels. And then if that feels good, try some more.
Or you can see your teacher after the class to build a relationship. Then you will be more comfortable speaking up in that teacher's class. I think that's possible. And the teacher will be more open. When they see you want to speak up, they'll pick up the cues.
I'd also say, you know, take a deep breath, raise your hand, and speak up. You know, participate in your classes, join the discussion, and as Yang was saying, after class, take advantage of office hours. Take advantage of you know, being able to talk to teachers in the hallway or at lunchtime. Just don't be afraid to join in, to join the discussion. You know, you'll find that once you do it that first time, it's easier. It gets easier every time.
So true. Thank you. Well, we are over by a minute. I have one last question. Do you guys have like 2 minutes?
Sure.
Any life lessons you wanted to share? Anything else you wanted to say this evening? I think we were on Yang.
To our children and people who want to pursue writing, I want to encourage them. There are many paths leading to a writing career, and life happens along the way. Have no fear and don't be discouraged, because you will be tested over and again in every way imaginable. Appreciate your life, learn from it, and enjoy the people who cross your path. So one day, if they end up in your stories, you will have genuine respect for them. They stand on their feet as living and breathing people rather than become caricatures in your imagination. Be true to yourself. Finish that book if that is important to you. Never lose sight of your goal. Like skiing, you need to look down the slope. It's a run. Don't get hung up on individual terms or mortified by how spectacularly you fall. You can always push yourself up, catch your breath, and start again. Be patient, be good to those who support you, and keep your sense of humor. One day you will earn the respect from your readers.
Lovely, thank you. Mike?
I'd keep it pretty simple. I'd say be proud of who you are, whether that's Asian, whether that's a musician, whether that's a writer, be proud of who you are and don't give up. Just keep persevering.
Love that, thank you. How about you, Joy?
I guess I'll share this message in honor of our younger audience members in the room. The first time I felt different was when I was 8 years old. My family had moved to the United States for the first time from Thailand, where I was born and raised. And I remember the first day of school, I realized pretty quickly that I was the only kid in class who couldn't speak English, who didn't understand what was going on, who could not even write my name. And there was a moment in the classroom that I realized everyone was able to write their full name and stand up and introduce themselves, and I couldn't. And when I went home after school that day and my mom asked me, like, how was your first day of school? And I nearly cried because I was like, I don't want to go back. And she's like, what happened? And she thought somebody was like mean to me. And then I told her what happened and that I was so embarrassed that I was like the dumb kid in class. And my mom grabbed a notepad and a pencil, sat down at the dinner table together, and she's like, okay, C-H-A-R-N-S-U-P-H-A-R-I-N-D-R. She wrote those 15 letters, my last name, and she handed me the pencil and said, your turn. And I sat down and copied those letters over and over and over and over and over. By dinner time, I know at least starts with C, end with R, there's 13 letters in between. And my mom came to look at it. She smiled and she said, good start. And you know, like, you keep practicing, this is not going to be a problem for you. But mommy wants you to remember today, because today is the day you learn to write your name. And there's only going to be one day like that. And I remember that day so profoundly, and it wasn't until years later as an adult that I realized why that was so impactful. Because the gift that my mom gave me was that wasn't the day that I was a dumb kid in class who couldn't write my name, but it was the day I learned to write my name. The power of changing the narrative of what your story is, it takes what actions you take. So make choices. And tell yourself that if I do this today, that's going to be the story I get to tell somebody one day.
So powerful. Well, thank you, everybody, our panelists and our audience, and especially the kids who came tonight. I'm so grateful for your wisdom. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike and Doy, and thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to share it with a few friends. I have a dream to build up a strong community of Asian women, and I think the best way to do that is through word of mouth. Also, if you could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, that would be awesome. Finally, come join our community on Facebook where we discuss these episodes and how to incorporate happiness into our everyday lives. Thanks and have a great week.